Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm Littman Crooks, and welcome to our podcast series. Our guest today is Leanne Carter. Leanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Leanne, very interestingly, has just written a book. It's actually her memoir, and the title of it is Ketchup is My Favorite Vegetable, A Family Grows Up with Autism. Leanne, tell us about the book.
Well, my son was initially diagnosed with autism and epilepsy about 20 years ago, and at the time, I didn't know anybody else who was in a similar situation. It was back in the dark ages before the internet existed, so there were no websites, there were no blogs to go to for information and support. And essentially, I think I wrote the book that I wished I had had at the time. It was a very lonely time, and I found that any books that I did find really just covered the diagnosis in early years. I needed a book that would tell me about what happens in the teen and adult years after the diagnosis.
And, well, you didn't need that in 1995, did you?
No, I didn't. But the only books that I found really were more about cures, you know, that someone had stumbled on the one thing that was the breakthrough for their child, sort of like a miracle worker Helen Keller kind of moment, and that after that it was smooth sailing. And that we found was really not our experience. It was a long and hard struggle, and I was frustrated that there was no one out there at the time to talk to.
And your son's name is Mickey, right?
Yeah, it's actually Michael, but everybody calls him Mickey.
And does he have any siblings?
Yes, he has an older brother, Jonathan, who is about 5 years older.
And you mentioned earlier that Mickey was diagnosed with epilepsy and autism. Isn't there some connection there?
Absolutely. The estimates vary, but it's approximately 30% of kids on the spectrum will also go on to develop a seizure disorder. We didn't know it at the time because it really didn't kick into high gear until he reached adolescence.
So that's when the seizures started?
Yeah. I mean, there had been a couple before that. We weren't sure. He might have been having absence seizures. But it really wasn't until adolescence that it became a full-blown, what used to be called a grand mal is now known as a tonic-clonic seizure.
And they think that whatever is going on in the brain that's causing the autism has some connection to creating the environment for seizures?
Well, no one is entirely sure. There's a ton of research being done on that, but there is just a very high comorbidity rate. There's clearly a connection. No one quite knows what it is.
So this book that you wrote, who is the target audience? Who should buy the book?
I would say, well, I'd like to think anybody. Parents, clinicians, therapists, people who like to read memoir. What I'm finding is my audience seems to be other parents. I've been getting a lot of email, a lot of commenting on Facebook. That really seems to be the target audience. And it, not just parents of children with autism, but really with a whole range of special needs.
And so Mickey was born. You had Jonathan, who's a typically developing child.
He is, although when he was a teenager, I used to say that he had been diagnosed with OTS, obnoxious teen syndrome. but yes, he's typically developing. He's bright. He's charming. He's a great kid.
So at what point, you say you're going to have a second child, Mickey's born, and everybody's happy. At what point did you realize that things were different?
Well, it was more of a qualitative difference than something I could quantify. What we noticed was that he just was hitting the developmental milestones a little on the late end, and even that would not have been so alarming. I started to notice things like he didn't imitate, he didn't play things like peekaboo or how big is the baby. And I knew because I had an older child that he really should have been doing those things. But, of course, when I mentioned it to the pediatrician, he just wanted to reassure me. He poo-pooed it a little, which looking back now, I regret. I probably should have pushed harder. But, you know, I wanted to be reassured that I was just being neurotic. Unfortunately, I wasn't. We did notice around the age of 10 months that when we spoke to him, he watched our mouths very intently. And I remember saying to my husband, oh, maybe he's going to be an early talker. He's so interested. But as it turns out, it actually meant the opposite. There was a really interesting study that they did up at Yale a few years ago. With, Ami Klin was running that study, and what they did was they took a film with a lot of high affect and emotional content. It was the movie Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and they did eye tracking. They ran it for neurotypical people and for autistic people, and what they learned was that the autistic viewers didn't watch people's eyes as they spoke. They watched their mouths. And that's where they drew emotional content from. So looking back, that really was a sign, but we had no way of knowing it.
You know, that's a tough one, Leanne. And by the way, I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Leanne Carter, who just had her book, her memoir published, Ketchup is My Favorite Vegetable, A Family Grows Up with Autism. People generally want to hear from their doctors that everything's okay, and they want reassurance that nothing's wrong. And, of course, you had no reason to believe anything was wrong. So, you know, that's a tough challenge, and I guess I'm hopeful that by writing the book, maybe you'll inspire other parents to ask deeper questions.
I think so. I think if I could stress anything, it would be that you have to trust your instinct. You know, you as that parent know your child better than anyone. And especially as a parent, not a first-time parent, I had someone and something to compare it against. It just felt off. I can't be more specific than that. But I wish, looking back, that I had trusted that instinct sooner. I certainly brought the concerns up to the pediatrician every month, and he kept reassuring me that, you know, according to the developmental chart that everybody followed, that he was a little late, but he was still within normal bounds, so it didn't necessitate exploring it further. And it wasn't until he reached his 18-month birthday that the doctor said, "What is he, you know, is he speaking at all?" And I said, "He's got three words, you know, ma, da, and no." And that's when the doctor finally said, "Okay, there should be more. Now I'll send you for the evaluation."
And how old was he at the time?
He was 18 months.
18 months. You know, a lot of parents have kids who have developmental and other intellectual disabilities or on the autistic spectrum. You know, what can we tell them going forward? I mean, what's different? What's the one sign that they should look for, and what should they do at the earliest possible time to give their kid the best chance?
I think there are a host of things that you can look for. I'd like to direct people to the Autism Speaks website for that. They provide a very comprehensive checklist of things that your child should be doing by the age of 18 months, and it can be things like single words. It can be pointing, indicating, imitating. As I mentioned, my son did not play peekaboo or any of those typical games that you play with a baby. And again, I know I keep saying this, but I think you have to trust your own instinct.
You know, lots of people have children with autism. What made you write a book?
Well, I guess that speaks to the fact that I was a journalist before I was a parent. I worked in book publishing for many years. I was a freelance writer. And when this started to happen, I think writing was really what kept me sane. I needed to sort of pin some of that chaos on the page. I mean, initially I didn't write about autism. I was working for Parents Magazine and Calls, and I was writing parenting-related articles, but nothing autism-specific. That happened pretty gradually. I began to write essays about the experience, and they started to get published, and I started to realize that maybe I had a book there and that it might actually be helpful to other parents.
Have you gotten any feedback on the book?
Well, it's kind of early days yet. It's only been a week since it was published. I mean, so far, it's been positive. People say they're finding it helpful and uplifting and even funny, which is gratifying. But early days, so we will see.
Have you been in touch with the autism community, and do they have any views on the book?
I'm sure they do. It's too soon to know. You know, I'm kind of going by the emails that I'm getting, and people are beginning to post reviews on Amazon and Goodreads. The official autism community, I don't know that there really is any such animal. It's, as you probably know, a fairly contentious community.
Mm-hmm. and very opinionated.
Very.
But very close-knit.
Well, absolutely, because when all is said and done, we're all pursuing the same thing, which is better lives for our children.
No question about it, and I think this is one of the challenges society and in general faces, that unless you're in the kitchen on this kind of a thing, it's very, very difficult to understand what's going on.
True. Very true.
I bet, you know, growing up, Mickey probably had all sorts of challenges in terms of bullying at school and teachers who didn't understand it, and that had to be an incredible challenge for you and your husband.
It was rough, especially those early years were the toughest. There was some bullying. Interestingly, though, most of the bullying happened within the special needs community. It didn't seem to be coming so much from the mainstream population. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I think what was hard was that he was very well liked in elementary school. He attended a local public school in a self-contained program, and he became sort of a school mascot. He was cute. People liked him. But I guess the proof would have been in the pudding. Nobody ever invited him for a birthday party, and I think that really told the story.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of like the unknown secret that unless you're involved, you take for granted the fact that your kids have friends and they're going to sleepovers and birthday parties, and then all of a sudden you have a kid with a developmental issue and there's no friends and no birthday parties, and he's alone.
He's alone, he is. And we did have an interesting experience. We had developed a sports program here in town, and a lot of kids started volunteering for it, but they were using it more as a way to ratchet up community service points or, you know, mitzvah projects, and which was fine. They would participate for a while, and my son and the others thought that these kids were their friends, but then as soon as they had fulfilled their commitment to the community service project, they disappeared. And that was pretty painful for him and for us.
Leanne, we're running out of time, but I guess I would be remiss if I didn't ask you before we had to wrap this up. Tell me about the title. How'd you come up with the name?
Well, like many kids on the spectrum, he has very quirky food tastes. He won't eat anything green. He hates vegetables. And when we had a conversation about it once, he just told me that ketchup was his favorite vegetable. And I hope it is, because it's the only one he eats.
And there became a title for a book.
Exactly.
So the book is Ketchup is My Favorite Vegetable, A Family Grows Up with Autism. You can buy it on Amazon.com, correct?
Yes, correct.
And if people want more information about the book, is there anywhere else they can turn to? Is there a Facebook page or a website?
There is. There is a book page on my website. The address for that is www.LeanneKCarter. That's LIANE. KCARTER.com. There are links there to buy the book. There are links to my articles and other helpful information.
Leanne, thanks very, very much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Bernie Crooks from Littman Crooks. Until next time, so long, everyone.